right. Let's go to, let's open our Bibles up to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. You all right, girl?
Something stuck in my throat.
All right, so I just want to thank Silas for this example of law and grace. So the law you don't want to hold on to, right? So a portrait of me, the law. And then the reality is grace is me. So would you rather hold on to the law or to grace? Oh, to grace. Okay, to me. So before the cross, after, before the cross, after the cross. Anyways. All right. So I went on. That's why I left it flat today, because I'm like, yeah, no. No gel today.
Keep that picture forever.
So I went to Google and I typed up, you know, relationships and kind of advice, right? Advice from Google on search. So how do you know when you find the right one, right? It's kind of what I saw pop up. So here's the advice that someone gave on Google. It says, you want someone who celebrates your successes with you. So if something great happens and your partner is like, let me treat you for dinner, that's a great sign. You just want someone who makes a big deal out of the things that are important to you. And that's when you know you found the right person. I was like, that's a sign that you found the right person. I was like, wow, somebody who will serve me. Okay, that's fair. Okay. But yeah, so I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. So that's not a sign that you found the right person. Okay, so now we're on number 16 of our one another's. This one today is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And this one is teach and admonish one another. All right. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Okay. Oh, you want to read it? Oh, all right. Go ahead.
3:16?
Yes, sir.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God.
Okay, so those of you who know me know that this is probably one of my favorite chapters in talking about the Holy Spirit. What other cross-reference would you use this with? Think about that one. Okay, if not, we'll get there here in a minute then. So maybe I need to do better on my relationships. You don't know me well enough then. I usually do it backwards. I usually go to the other verse, then come to this one. But once you'll see it, you'll recognize it. So the Greek word for admonish here is nothidio. Okay, this word is difficult to translate with a precise English meaning. A lot of scholars have translated it, depending on its context, as admonish, exhort, counsel, instruct, teach. Okay, John Adams says that this work can be understood by examining it as a concept and as a practice. Okay, so believers are filled with the Spirit when they are filled with what?
Spirit.
When they're filled with the Spirit. What are they filled with?
God's word.
God's word, that's right. Okay? So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is what it says there in this verse. And then we'll come back to what Mr. Phil said here directly. Okay, so how is this possible? Okay, so how is it that believers are filled with the Spirit when they are filled with God's word? Hold your spot there. And now let's move over to Ephesians chapter 5. Huh? Starting to come to your mind now?
Yeah.
Guess what verse?
19,
almost.
18,
there you go. Ephesians 5:18. Okay, so with Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, there's a remarkable parallel between these two passages, okay? We see that a wise person... Let's go ahead and read it. Let's go ahead and read 18 through... what is it? 19? No, not 19. 21? That's wrong one. Yeah, 20.
21?
Yeah.
All right,
okay, all right.
And do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one another in the fear of God.
Okay, so we just saw that in Colossians chapter 3, right? With all, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. So we see some of the same symptoms of one says to be filled with the Spirit, you have this. Another one says to be filled with God's word, you have this, which are, in a sense, the same symptoms of being of both, right? Now, again, so a wise person will understand God's will and be filled with the Spirit, according to Ephesians 5:18.
Sorry.
Oh, is that you? Yeah, she's ready to go. She don't want to be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah, it's cut the ring down.
It's a good one.
Okay, so all right. So a wise person will understand God's will and be filled with the Spirit, right? From Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay. The result of being filled with the Spirit will be a loosened tongue, okay, that sings praises. And what else? What else do they do? Sing praises and
spiritual songs.
Spiritual songs, yep. They give thanks to God, right? We see in verses 19 and 20. Okay, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord. So you'll sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then also, you know, you'll give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So the result is similar in Colossians 3:16. Okay? What does it say? Now hold your spot there. What does it say in Colossians 3:16?
Same thing,
right? Exactly. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. An old pastor once told me, he says, hey, if you're not singing during worship time, you got a heart issue. And I'm like, huh? I didn't understand it, right? And then as I get older and I study God's word more, this text always comes to mind when he said that, right? So when I'm looking around, I'm just kidding, I hardly don't ever look around when we're singing, but I look around and see who's singing. Oh, I need to pray for that person. I'm just kidding. That's why Barry sits in the back. He actually, you know, he's writing this down. He's like texting us, hey, guys.
He's over here.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. But no, you should evaluate yourself, right? You should be singing. You should be praising God. This is something that happens when you're filled with God's word and the Holy Spirit. As we said here, your tongue is loosened, right? You begin to sing. Have you ever caught yourself at home or at work or somewhere, and all of a sudden you're just singing hymns, you're singing spiritual songs, right? That should come with an indwelt spirit or with God's word indwelt in you, okay? There's a change of heart, okay? There's a change of heart. Or how about when you're you know, Stephen's jamming out up there and your toe starts to tap? No? Okay, never mind. My toe never taps. I don't know.
I thought. I do that.
You do that? Okay. Clarissa does a keep beat, though, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Back in the day, that was a bad thing. If your toe tapped, that was evil. Okay, that was the flesh coming out. So that's a reality. I was.
Got 10 of them.
You got 10 of them? Yeah. 10 toes? Yeah. So, again. Let me see where I saw the result. Okay. So a person with God's word dwelling in his life, okay, has a tongue loosened. Okay. What else does it do when it's loosened? Okay. When you're filled with God's word, what else do you begin to do? Okay. So we talked about those. And then let me see here. Let's go back to Colossians. So we, let me see here. What's the word? Oh, yeah, yeah. With all wisdom. And then what does it say after all wisdom in Colossians?
Teaching.
And what? Admonishing. And admonishing. So not only are we singing praises, not only are we giving thanks, but then we begin to teach and admonish. Okay? This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what God's Word does. It makes you want to go tell somebody about Him. It makes you want to go tell people about what you're learning and studying about Him. Okay? So, has a tongue loosened to teach, admonish, sing, and give thanks. Okay? So the result of being filled with the Spirit, which is Ephesians, and the result of having God's Word dwelling within us, which is in Colossians, is the same. Okay? So a loosened tongue to teach, sing, and give thanks. Okay? We're not talking about the tongue like in James, where it can be a pro and a con, right? This same tongue, we praise God, but we also can curse God, right? With it. And I'm not going down that side, but that's a reality. Okay? But in this way, being Spirit-filled is being filled with God's Word. Okay? I remember in my charismatic days, I'd go up and say, hey, do you want to be filled with God's Spirit? Sure, right? So I let them pray over me, and I've never fallen on the ground. So one day I said, man, I don't know what's going on, but I got to do something. So I faked it, and I fell on the ground, and I'm there, and I'm like, Lord, what's up? You know, and I didn't know. I just didn't know. I said, maybe He's not using me. Maybe there's sin in my life, kind of like what Raul was saying yesterday. Something's wrong with me. I see this happening to everybody. And then later on, you find out that most people are doing the same thing I'm doing, right? And so again, that's not being filled with the Spirit, okay? That's a false view of being filled with the Spirit. When God's Word is richly indwelling in you and is consuming you, and the people behind you are tripping over the overload of information that you have in your mind, that's when you're filled with God's Word, right? You should constantly be saturated with God's Word, and then He begins to fill you. How do you change to become like Christ? Jesse, how do you change to become like Christ?
Just being in His Word and in prayer.
That's right, being in His Word, prayer. Communicating with the Lord Himself, with His Word and prayer, and then communicating with His people, right? That relationship, right? Well, there's no relationship and experience, okay? So it's a false view and a false advertisement. Look, just like in everything good, there's a there's always a anything good, and especially in God's Word, there's always going to be a false view that Satan's going to bank to distract us, and that is the false view. The proper view is to be saturated with God's Word. It's not emotional, okay? What happens is, when you're filled with God's Word, it's a response to the knowledge and the wisdom that you begin to have, okay? You become more like Christ. You become Christ's likeness. You become to begin to grow into Christ, okay? All right. And I wanted to kind of exaggerate that because I want you to get the point, okay? This is so important. There's so many people that are Christians that are still stuck in the same spot they were 20 years ago because they're not studying God's Word, they're not reading His Word, they're not praying, they're not having relationships with one another, and what they're doing is they're chasing experience, okay? They're chasing experiences. They're going from this experience to that experience, maybe from this worship group to that worship group, and they're following an emotional high, okay? And that's not good enough, because when it fades away, you got to go find it again. It's like drugs, okay? But here, this doesn't happen this way, okay? It doesn't happen this way. Yeah, go ahead, boss.
Throw in here. you know, we worship God through singing, but we also worship God through our teaching, through admonishing, through fellowship. That's a continual worship of God. It's just like maintaining that attitude of worship throughout our lives. But, you know, I think I was deceived for the longest time, thinking that the worship only happened when the songs were being sung. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's because the songs that were being sung were the mainstream songs that you may hear on Caleb or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's no content of the Word of God in those songs. It's just like they're trying to victimize emotions. You know, they're stirring up the emotional experience. And mm-hmm. So it's that continual need to just have those emotions satisfied. And it's not really growing in the knowledge of God's Word. To where when you look at the theologically rich text of the songs that we sing here, and that Steve and the worship team do a great job of putting together, is that not only are they kind of connecting with the senses, which I think are our emotions are involved in our worship, but that it's an intelligent kind of worship. Mm-hmm. It's the understanding of God's word.
I think so. Anybody have any questions or challenges to Owen? No, I'm just kidding. Did it make sense, guys? No, it did. No, it did, absolutely. So I think and that's why it's important to have God's word richly indwelt in us, so that when we've seen these things, we'll know when it's truth and when it's not. In fact, we're going to talk about that here in a second.
Spirit of truth and discernment on that.
That's right. That's right. And remember, emotions, you got something, Chad? I saw him. He's like, should I?
I'll save it for later.
Are you sure? Going once, going twice. Okay, save it for later then. what was I going to say? You caught me off guard. Emotions. Okay. Emotions are also not just used within the church. They're used in politics as well. If you use emotions to control people, you can control them, especially if you have fear, right? You can create groups through excitement and happiness. You can grow big through all these things. But when there's truth spoken in love and it hurts, then you begin to divide, right? And that's how we want to be. So emotions are important, okay? God has given us those. But remember, they're stained by sin. So you can be, not discouraged, but you can be distracted by a false view of emotion. So we see that. You know, people try to put fear in us. They give us false information. They're trying to control narratives. And you see that? And they're all that way, right? Everything is ever since... Who was it? Who was the first king in Kings? Was it, what was his name?
Saul,
right? Was it Saul? Yeah, so Saul was the first king, right, that we had, that was given to us. And so ever since then, it's always been about men, right, about us. So what you see today is no different than it was in 1 Kings back then when it was about Saul, okay? All right, so, and God warned us. He said, hey, are you sure you want this? Because this is what's going to happen. And we said, yeah, we want it. And so here we are today fighting this. Okay, so again, so as a result of being filled with God's word, believers should teach one another with humility. In a general sense, teaching is not only something done by the appointed elders and pastors. Does it say that here? Hey, pastors, elders, now that you're filled with the Spirit, go teach. Is that what it says? No, who's he talking to? Everybody, right? Whoa, to believers, that's right. So he says, it's done by everyone. Some people say, oh, it's not my job to teach. Oh, yeah? Do you disciple your family? Do you disciple your children, your wife? Yeah, you're teaching. That's teaching. That's Matthew 28:19. Go out and make disciples. So the call is to be filled, the admonition is to be filled with the Spirit and to be filled with God's word by saturating yourself with his word. Because you are called to teach. Okay,
and that's a good point too, because we talked about how we need to mentor and disciple people in our church by learning our doctrine, teaching. So how we do that is we go into His Word, we go into those teachings, so we can teach others with that.
That's right. I've always said this: any church that you go to, if you believe exactly what the pastors are teaching, you're not studying your Bible. Because I promise, between me, Owen, and Barry, we probably have some things that we don't agree on. Okay, which is good. Okay, one of us is wrong, or all of us are wrong. That's just how it is, okay? But not all of us are right. And that's just how it is. And so again, and then when I hear you guys talk, especially after a topic, then sometimes it's cool to hear the different perspectives, the debates, the, oh, what about this, what about that, right? That's because the Lord is working in your heart with his word, right? Different thoughts, different ideas. So again, but there's only one truth. Just remember that. All right, believers are to take every opportunity to teach one another the great truth of God whenever they can. And this may take place not only in formal Bible studies, but also during times of singing. Well, that's what Owen and Stephen were talking about just now. Making use of songs that are biblically oriented and faithful to the text of Scripture may and should be used in teaching one another. Okay, So isn't it important, should it be important that Stephen, who is the leader of our worship in music, see, I almost did it myself, the worship in music, right, not the preaching of God's word or giving, but in the worship of music, it's important that he must know God's truth. We want Stephen to be filled with the Spirit. We want Stephen to be filled with God's word, because if not, he will not have discernment, okay? Same with you guys. And whatever you do in life, you need to have know God's word so you have discernment. But his responsibility today at Carlsbad Bible Church is to lead us in that way. Okay? So Christians can share playlists and albums with spiritual songs to encourage and teach spiritual truths. Okay? How many of you have done that? Hey, check out this new song that just came out. Or hey, have you heard this song that came out 20 years ago and we just found it? All right? We're cleaning up our Google searches and look what popped up. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, Petra at that point.
What's that?
Petra?
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Dang. Wow.
Oh, is it? In Spanish, that's a gossiper, Petra. Petra. So I don't know. So Christians can share playlists and albums, right? So have you done that before? So music is a powerful tool for teaching truth. Okay, provided, of course, that the lyrics are biblical in content. I remember when I was a young Christian, I used to listen to this Christian rapper named Lecrae back in the day when he was decent. But he had strong theological words, and it was back during this, what was that movement that went through? Was the Young and the, not the Young and the Restless, but it was, that's been going on since I've been alive. But it was the Reformation deal.
Yeah, Reformed.
Yeah, Reformed, what is that?
Caged.
What's that?
Caged.
No, not Cage, but it was this Young and Reformed. Yeah, there you go. The Young and Reformed?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
And
the Young and Reformed and the Restless, right? Well, that movement's kind of petered off now. But anyways, back then, like, there was all about theology, all this meat, but there was no application. It was almost like Luther was resurrected, okay? He's fighting all this theology, but there was no life there, okay? There was no application. And we want to be more like the Puritans, where you have the theology and then we show how to live it out, okay? And so that's kind of how that was. And that's why it fizzled out and died. And if you guys know who Mark Driscoll is and all these guys that kind of were in the middle of that, he was kind of part of that and kind of takes credit for some of that. And I think I would give him credit for some of the aggressiveness of how it took off, because a lot of young men who had daddy issues and stuff like that, they were really attracted to this guy. But he failed and he disqualified himself. And after that, it kind of went everywhere and fell apart. But anyways, where was I going with that? Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, we don't want to follow those trends, right? I don't know how I got there. Okay, so anyways, music is a powerful tool for teaching truth, as long as the lyrics are biblical in content, right? So we want that.
And then, yeah, I know when Deeds was here, he gave us kind of like that 3 points to kind of follow with our music choices. It's doctrinally sound, theologically rich, congregationally singable. So we'd like to apply those too based on what Scripture shows.
Yeah, definitely. That's good advice. Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of base the ministry around those 3 points, right?
Yes.
And it's worked well so far. Yes. So yeah, absolutely. So, all right. So making use of psalms, hymns, and music is an aspect of ministering to one another that can be very effective. We know that, right? I can catch myself singing songs that we play Sunday morning throughout the week. On the weekends, I can hear them practicing. The Clarissa practicing at home. Come in the morning here, hear them practicing, and then just those songs are just joy to my heart, especially when I know what they say and the truths that are ingrained ingrained into those songs. All right. So many authors and composers have for many generations taught and admonished people by means of music. At least there's many writers of hymns. Anybody know of a hymn writer?
Horatio?
Okay. Stafford, I think.
Spafford,
there you go, Spafford. What song did he write? A hymn. It Is Well, right? Did you know he wrote that song right after he lost his wife and daughters on a boat crash? And he wrote that song, looking out into the sea, saying, "It is well with my soul." That's cool, huh?
What's the hymn writer where, I don't know his name, but it was like,
John Newton?
Hymns in like 1800s or something, and they got his like hymn books and like filled up the gun barrels because they didn't have any more.
I can't remember.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I don't know his name.
Yeah, but no, so then there's a lot of, so many writers of hymns memorize large portions of scripture, okay? So when you see them, you'll be able to identify, you know, certain stanzas that they use, because they have this stuff memorized, and as they're writing down these verses, I mean these stanzas for these songs or hymns, they're writing scripture into it, you know, they're pretty much paraphrasing scripture.
That's a good point, because like that song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," it comes from Psalm 46:1 about God being our refuge, mm-hmm. and strength in that. So I mean, that was a hard time in the Reformation he was going through when he wrote that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And so the writers had scripture dwelling richly in their minds as they wrote their compositions. Okay. So in some churches today, the songs used in worship, they're anemic. Okay. If they're evaluated in light of robust biblical context, the tunes and beat are often catchy, but there is a lack of good theology. Okay, we want good theology. We want good biblical doctrine. Okay, because the lyrics are simply not word-oriented. Okay, it's just the music. It's all about that. Again, there's nothing wrong with tapping your toe, but if it's drawn to that part of the flesh, then and it's not, in a sense, pricking your heart with God's truth, then that's probably a weak or anemic type of song, okay? In fact, some content is so much in error that if you know your Bible, you find yourself thinking, wow, that was wrong. I can't believe we're singing that, okay? Yeah. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. What songs out there where you're like?
Reckless Love.
Yeah. Reckless Love, okay.
The one from Belleville, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Holy Spirit, what is it?
You're at Welcome Here.
No, you're at Welcome Here.
You're bringing back convictions.
Yeah, yeah, here. Holy Spirit, you're at Welcome. It's a good tune.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is already here. The Holy Spirit lives in us, okay? So don't call him back again, because yeah, you don't want the fire, right? Or you're saying you're not saved. So when you understand biblical doctrine, you understand the theology or pneumatology, which is the doctrine and teaching of the Holy Spirit, you'll know that those types of ideas are wrong. But because the tunes are catchy and it drives the emotions, theology and truth become secondary. Okay, and so we don't want that. We want it to always be primary. Okay. And so, in fact, I think some of the young ones in our church have pushed Stephen to look into singing hymns, and we've been doing it since the summer, huh? So, again, that was thanks to the youth group kind of pricking Stephen. And so, and he's bent, and he's trying it out. But there's truth, right? And even with hymns, they're not all hymns are good hymns, right? So you have to have discernment still in evaluating those. Okay. If you know your Bible, you find yourself thinking, okay, well, I was wrong. And how sad is it that you cannot even sing some of the songs with a good conscience, as you would be singing error, even if anyone likes the tune, even if everyone likes the tune? I remember we're sitting in this church one time, and all of a sudden, that Holy Spirit song came, and all of my kids turned around and looked at me, and I could see them in the corner of my eye. And the pastor was sitting up front, and he looks at us. And after his wife got done singing that song, he got up there and tried to soften it and try to make it, you know, he tried to bring it in, but he couldn't do it. He knew he was in trouble, but I told my kids, don't sing that, just leave it alone. Just, you do what you want to do.
Well, that was when you first started coming to our church.
That was in Houston. That was a First Baptist Church in Belleville. Yes. No, actually, the first day I came here, Owen put this deal on YouTube with this Jewish priest, or what was that dude?
Yeah, he was a Jewish rabbi.
A rabbi?
But his son had been,
yeah. I couldn't remember the full deal, but Owen was like, yeah, I think I ran these guys off. But we came back the next Sunday, and we're still here. So, yeah. Huh?
You're still thinking about it.
Yeah, still thinking about it. Jesus, at least. I'm stuck. I'm here. I'm committed. So, yes. let me see here. All right. So we must really be we must be really careful to ensure that both the content and composition of songs we use show faithfulness to the Bible, okay, are honoring to God, and will be helpful in light of ministering to others. Having the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly will help you from error, keep you from error, okay? All right, even though you may not have a formal Bible education like myself, okay, maybe some of you do. I don't know anybody. Anybody have any formal Bible education? No? Okay. Outside of being homeschooled with biblical tools. Even though you may not have a formal Bible education, do you desire to teach others what you're learning, right? And that goes back to teaching is not just for the seminary grads, okay? It's for all of us. It's for everybody who claims to be a Christian. So as we study God's words, we should always find somebody to share it with, okay? I always share that truth. If you learn something, go share it with somebody, okay? Learn God's truth and share it with others, and this will help you retain it better, okay? Consider sending someone a solid, I don't know why it says Liverpool, but that was annotation. I don't know what that is. But try to send somebody, consider sending someone a good, solid song or something that you heard to enjoy it, right? Because we're talking about the songs. I think that's what I meant to put. I don't know why I put that. But anyways, is there anybody that could use something like that? Think about that around your life. Think of a new song or one that's deep in theology. I know sometimes we send each other things that are deep, like a good message, like, hey, check this out. Like right now, Paul Washer is going through this teaching, a six-part series. He's going to some jail somewhere, some prison, and he's preaching. What's that? Mississippi. And he's, what, on number four or five right now?
Four,
yeah. And I know when they're coming out, I see them going back and forth to each other. And so, again, so we send each other God's truth, his depth. You know, also we should send songs, right? Send hymns. Check this out. Listen to this. Again, those are the types of things we should be teaching and admonishing one another. Okay? Any thoughts, any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
It's just with lyrics, right?
Mm-hmm. Like,
this is not talking about melody.
So melody is good as long as the lyrics
match it, but they
match the Bible. Yes, because you could have, there are some like hymns out there, and there are some new contemporary hymns that their lyrics aren't very good, but man, the depth in what they sing is very good. So you find yourself singing it, but I think they could have done better on the tune, but that's my personal preference.
So like for me,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to try to help understand your point. I think the melody is like how they play the music in the background. Should it be the forefront? Should it be more in the back?
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, kind of. Like the rocky.
Yeah, like sometimes I like to listen to music because it just relaxes me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the words.
Gotcha.
It's not the same playlist.
Yeah.
Right now we're just both focusing on lyrics, though, right?
Correct.
Yes. It could be like heavy metal, let's say.
Yeah.
And as long as it's just the music, because you enjoy it, it'll be fine.
Yeah, so I think the point to this passage is how are you spirit filled? So to be spirit filled, no matter what the content, and whether it's a sermon, whether it's a music, a hymn, contemporary hymn, new Christian music, if the words are deep and rich in God's word, then the music type or style, I think that's up to you. Now there are probably some people who would say no, only go this way, no, only go that way. I think that's up to you. I'm more focused on the lyrics, the depth of the lyrics, right? Now, if you're not like trying to if you're not focusing on worship and you're just kind of just hanging out, cruising, and listen to what you want, right? But if you're in worship, then I think you should listen to whatever music is deep in God's truth. Is that fair to say? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what I don't want to do, I don't want to turn this into a debate where this type of music is better than that type of music, right?
Christian liberty.
Yeah. Hymns are better than contemporary hymns, or contemporary hymns are better than the new rock Christian music, right? Caleb is better than Steven's music. I don't know, right? Whatever.
sounds better.
Yeah. And so I don't want to get into that. What I want you to know, though, is that just like whenever you hear somebody talking in the hallway at work and they mention God, your ears perk up and you begin to listen and you start to have discernment and you're filtering everything they're saying. It's like, well, that's true. That's not true. Or, man, all that was true. When a song comes and plays, I want you to do the same thing and don't allow the music to influence you to where you turn off that discernment, and it's all about the emotional side and not what's being spoken there. Is that fair?
Yes.
That's kind of the trigger I'm trying to trigger. Okay. And then you be the... Yes, sir, go ahead.
One good example on Caleb, there's a song where it speaks of Christ as being the grave robber. I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but you're saying it wrong. So change the channel.
Yeah.
Criticize the church.
Hit forward. Yeah. No, absolutely. Right.
Yeah, keep an eye on it.
Yeah. And so, and that's the thing. Not every song on Caleb is bad, right? But there's a lot that are not good.
Okay. And like, and you look at that too. You got your corporate worship kind of music and your personal worship. And you know your discernment. You're in your car listening to one of the songs. You know where your discernment is. Yeah, worship. Praise God. Give the glory to Him. Yeah. But in corporate, maybe a little different on what we choose based off that.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one time I live in Farmington. And back then when my kids were small, I would just listen to sermons, or I don't even think they had podcasts back then, but we'd listen to stuff. And then Victoria, she was awake, and she was, we're going back from Hobbs, we're living in Houston, going back to Houston, and she was up front, and I could tell she wanted to talk or just converse, so I'm like, okay, I turned off my deal, I'm like, okay. She goes, hey, you want to listen to country music? And I'm like, is country music good? Well, yeah, it's real good. I said, okay, how about we listen to all the songs and compare it to compare it to God's truth? Oh yeah, no big deal, right? Okay. So there we were for probably like 4 hours listening to country music, and we just had all this lectures on discernment, and it had to do with all kinds of stuff, right? The music is good. It's upbeat. It was it was pleasing to the flesh, right? My toe was tapping as I was driving, right? I had cruise control. But all the words they were saying were words that were filled by the desires of the flesh, right? So even in those things, you can have discernment. Just like when the Bible says to test all things, you can be in public school, you can be in private school, you need to test what the teachers are saying, right? And so in every aspect of life, I'm not saying you should go listen to country or to rock. I think those are your personal preferences, right? Just like some people feel we shouldn't go to the movies, and some people are okay with it, right? But those are the gray issues that you and God need to work out between yourselves. But at the end of the day, no matter what you put in your eyes or in your ear, it needs to be filtered with God's word, and that's it, no matter what, okay? Because if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it for you, and especially if you're raising a family, somebody else will do it for you. The world is dying to teach your children, okay? And so die teaching your children, even if that's what it means. All right, did you get your question answered?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Hopefully I didn't make it more confusing. There's a lot of stuff there. This is like the legalism. We're riding that line, and I'm trying not to hit that line. But I want to be sensitive to all aspects that I've kind of learned over the last years.
And I'm just trying to figure out, like, as you mature as a Christian, and even though you like the beat of the song or whatever, but then you notice the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not fulfilling anymore, even though you like the beat.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like...
Yeah. Yeah, like the Holy Spirit song we're talking about. I love that, the beat and the melody of that song. But man, I get turned off whenever I hear certain words. I'm like, oh, that's not good. Yeah. Okay. And same thing with my old charismatic ways. I started church in the Spanish world. Like, there's a lot of Spanish songs out there that in fact, probably I would say 99% of all Spanish Christian music pertains towards the charismatic side of things. Right, talking about the Holy Spirit to come in, fill me with your spirit, and then also they take more of a you can lose your salvation perspective, right? So even that's ingrained in there. So theologically, like, theology is important. When people say, oh, you have too much Bible, that's actually a good thing, because the more Bible you have, the more pure your mind becomes and begins to think more like Christ. So if you begin to hate it and don't like it, more than likely Christ doesn't like it either. Is that fair? Okay, all right, let's pray. We're 7 minutes over. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Good discussion, Lord. We just thank you for guiding us this way and talking about these things. I pray, Lord, that we're open-minded, but that we're not open-minded to your truth, Lord, and that we should know your truth, Lord. We should study your truth. We should share your truth, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit by knowing your truth, Lord, and help us, Lord, to admonish one another. I know, Lord, that there are a group of people in this church and probably everybody in here that love to send things to each other, to boost each other, to wow each other with your words and your truth, through other men who speak your word through sermons, through other musicians, Lord, that speak your truths through songs, Lord. And so help us, Lord, to boost one another up, to encourage each other by the truths that are spoken through others and through ourselves, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray in your name. Amen.